So last week here, right at the end, I spoke about the possibility of exploring teaching on how to remain undisturbed. Another way to say, what does it mean to be undisturbed? Talk about that a little bit. Very deep in the stream of our conditioned mind, there's a sense that when we do something, something can come from that. I brush my teeth, my teeth get clean. I feel hungry, I eat food. My body's nourished. I do this, I get that. I do that, I get this. This is very much embedded in the stream of our conditioned mind. And because it's so embedded really in our unconscious, subconscious as well as our conscious mind, when we sit for meditation, we often are enacting that very same conditioning. I do this and it could lead to that. And so we somewhat blindly, no pun intended, the eyes closed, are actually perpetuating, often unbeknownst to our self, this very same, you could say, cause and effect process. And in a way, trying to, if we're trying to do anything here, which, by the way, doesn't have to be the case. One could be sitting and not trying to do anything. But let's just say there is some subtle or not so subtle effort involved, even to just sit up, you know, for the body not to just kind of go down, you know, collapse. That very effort is often engaging in attempting to affect or alter, influence, direct, and you might say subtly control experience. So what vipassana or insight means is to see clearly. And this seeing clearly means many different things, as it must. For example, to see the actual nature of experience, to see that part of experience is this cause and effect process, this karma, if you will. To actually see that, rather than just be living it out, even mechanically or routely going through the motions. You ever felt that? You ever find yourself kind of routely, almost habitually going through the motion of something, and then all of a sudden something wakes up and you realize you are in fact cleaning the bathroom mirror. That the hand is moving and that there's a sense of that. There's actually a waking up in a very simple way to just pressing the thumbtack onto the board. Wasn't there before. It was kind of a sleep trance. And yet things were still happening. And you didn't crash the car. And you actually stuck the thumbtack into the board rather than into yourself. And sometimes it's reversed, isn't it? I call that stubbing the toe. And sometimes we really stub the toe. And we really bang against something hard in life. And that's an awakening in a way, isn't it? Where was I? So what Vipassana does is it doesn't just allow a seeing clearly of experience. We'll call that the contents of life, including this cause and effect or karmic process. But it begins to reveal the field or the context, I like that word, within which things are happening. And this context within which things are happening, actually, if there's a disturbance going on, we begin to discover that that disturbance is actually more in the content. It's in these reactions, It's in this resistance. It's in this reaching, controlling, manipulating, even just a little bit. And we can really feel this and really sense this, become very clear about it. Call that an insight. What grasping is, what resistance is. We realize that with language, it's very interesting because with language, you know, it's very interesting to have you say to me, Robin, you know, you like to speak. And there's a part of this that does like to speak, but there's another part of this that very much likes to not speak. Both are true. But the speaking never really actually, the words never really actually, truly capture or describe anything. They make an attempt, they kind of get close, but the word is never the thing. They don't make it. It's almost like if this is what we're attempting to describe right here, the words come out right up close, and then they don't quite make it. And we sense this, like with certain words particularly, like the word emptiness. What is that? Or the word awareness. What is that? Or the word the self or no self. What is that? How do you describe these things? Or really anything? And we believe, like if we know a lot about, you know, computers or houses or cars or something, and we're really good at describing that, that we're actually bringing the listener into a place of understanding. And all we're doing is helping them intellectually understand something. So this insight or this vipassana, it emerges strangely enough, beautifully, mysteriously, in between concepts. It comes in between descriptions. It comes in between the thoughts. It comes in and through the silence. And that silence, that insight comes through in a way that insight is. The insights are actually silent. They reverberate, though, into the field, you might say, of our experience. They touch the contents, the mind process, the body process, this that we call our experience, is enlightened by insights. It is illuminated. And we'll say a little bit about that in a minute or so. What does it mean to remain undisturbed? You may have heard the teaching, may appreciate the teaching. If you want peace, don't disturb it. Begin to sense in the stillness, in the quietness, in the openness, in the simply, maybe very few moments or minutes of just being, simply being. There's a taste of no disturbance. There's a taste that one would say, if one thought about it or described it, this is peace. This is undisturbed. And it's quite humbling. It's actually shocking at times to realize how much you actually disturb your life. Even with your plans and your ideas and your imaginations and your fantasies, you kind of stir it up a little or a lot. And we don't just stop there. We sometimes just extend our capacity to disturb ourselves right at other people. It's lonely to disturb this alone. So what do? I go out with it. And I act out this play. And we laugh about it because it is a little funny to actually honestly have a look. But it's quite profound and alarming and arbitrary. That suffering, instead of something to work out, actually begins to be something to truly, truly comprehend, to truly see for what it is. What is this disturbance? What is this unrest? What is this that seems to be probably at the heart of what's fatiguing the human? What's here between the words? What are the words pointing at? And what's in between the words? So if someone said to me, "See if you can remain undisturbed," how would you go about attempting to do that? Let me position myself here correctly so that this, as much as possible, is resting and not disturbed. Let me relax and let me get comfortable. And for some of us, sometimes just being vertical is a disturbance. The only way this thing's really going to kind of let go is I got to go to sleep, or at least get horizontal. Let's just say that verticality doesn't disturb too much, like right now. Doesn't upset, agitate, aggravate, irritate, frustrate too much right now. And then someone says, "Okay, now, what does it mean to remain undisturbed?" I might say, "Okay, what that means is don't move. Because if I'm moving, why am I moving? Well, unless I have something to do. If I don't have anything to do, then why am I moving?" And what we discover there is that we're moving because we're disturbed. I'm trying to be undisturbed, so let me just adjust this because I'm getting disturbed here. Cushion's not right. Maybe it's my butt. I don't know what it is, but kind of getting tight back there. Next thing you know, one's moving all around. So we find that's not really working. Somebody says, "Well, try just stopping. Just for a moment, just stop. Don't do anything. Be still." And you actually pull it off. It may still be sort of a churning inside the head or inside the body more than just on the surface, like there's still movement. But if that's not interfered with, then that too actually isn't disturbing. To whom? To who? To what? What sees? You could call it the experiencer. You see, there's no experience without an experiencer, right? The experiencer begins to actually become clearer as that which, at least relatively speaking, is not disturbed. Resting. There's this movement of thinking. You ever notice the difference between thoughts are moving and there's some disturbance with the thinking, and then thoughts are moving, maybe even very similar content, and there's no disturbance? That what's happening is okay. Or a little not okay. And it's moving, isn't it? This okay, not okay, okay, not okay, okay, not okay, okay, not. not okay. Back and forth, these little movements or big movements. This is what it means, just in a very small sort of menu, to begin to see clearly, to see what's actually happening here, instead of not see it. But what does it mean to remain undisturbed? What does it mean to not disturb the peace? It suggests that there's a peace here prior to us disturbing it. Where is that peace? And the teachings sometimes say, it's within. Look within, because you won't find it without. And so you go about that, looking within. Where do you look within to find the peace? Where is it? And if you're honest, you look within and you might find no peace, or just a little peace that comes and goes. No stability. Again, very humbling. Could be strangely disturbing as well, at least at first. I, quote unquote, can't sustain anything. I can't sustain silence. I can't sustain my thinking. I can't sustain being awake. I can't sustain being asleep. I can't sustain staying hungry. I can't sustain staying fed. I can't sustain talking to somebody. I can't sustain listening to somebody. You know what happens if you listen to people too long? That thing that you also can't sustain called falling asleep takes over. I can't sustain holding a pen. I can't sustain reading a book. I can't sustain anything. So how am I going to sustain peace? What does it mean to be or remain undisturbed? The curiosity about this very question is what takes us into the deeper, you could say, aspects of what Vipassana is. What about that teaching that came through the Christian tradition? I like it very much. I mean, it, to me, came through that tradition. It's called the peace that passes all understanding. What about that? Where's that? How does one access that? Is that just nice words? Is that something that happened to someone long ago and they wrote about it and put it in a text that became scripturalized? Are these just words? So this thing called equanimity, which is a state that can't be sustained, just like this thing called mindfulness, which is a quality of observation that's non-judgmental, non-preferential, doesn't make decisions, that can't be sustained, but yet they're very, very good to get to know. So you're going along through your day, you could be walking, talking, moving, breathing, sitting still, lying down, whatever. And some quality of relative balance appears. Some quality of relative non-disturbance appears as a quality of equipoise. And if you go after that, like that felt good, that really worked well, I like being like that. That worked well for me on Tuesday to feel that balance. I'm going to try to get that and keep it. Acupuncture helped me. Two sessions. I didn't eat as much that day. I did a breathing exercise. And I had spirulina. I think that's it. I only had a little bit, but it was enough. Guessing. Totally guessing. You're guessing about everything. Good guess, though. It's educated. It seems to make sense. I believe it. Good enough. It's like the word can't describe anything. what's not disturbed. The openness of not needing to know. Caught me by surprise. Wait a minute. Maybe I don't have to figure this out. Maybe I don't have to understand in my mind what karma is and resolve it. That feels, or it seems to be, a sense of okayness that's different than this back and forth relative over the top, okay, not okay, little or a lot. Something, you might say, more sublime, quieter, more subtle, is not avoided. Don't know. See, prior to that moment where don't know was undisturbed to realize it, one felt the need to know. Figure this out, straighten this out, sort this out. Get clear. See, if we're not careful, we start trying to meditate to get clear so we can have an insight, so we can get clear about how we weren't clear. And then we recognize if that happens, that it doesn't last. Can't sustain clarity. I forgot to mention that, didn't I? Can't sustain confusion either. Isn't that interesting? That's kind of handy. Try to sustain staying confused. Go for it. Put all your cards on confusion. Try to sustain being afraid. Try to sustain being loving. Try to sustain it. You begin to realize you can't remain undisturbed. What can then? What can? Nothing? So what do you do then? You kind of approximate. You do the best you can to not disturb life for a little bit or a lot. You make it part of your lifestyle. And bit by bit, you get a sense of that, relatively speaking, what it means to taste this temporal, fleeting, transitory sense of undisturbedness. But it's a Dharma gate. Because until you can let this come to quiescence, you won't see that gate. You won't see that portal. You will not have that insight, that vipassana, that clear seeing of that which is undisturbed. So what am I saying then? A way. Talk about the middle way, a way to uncover that which is undisturbed is to do your best to be undisturbed in the face of everything. Try it for half a day. No matter what happens, no matter what comes up, no matter what doesn't come up, remain undisturbed. To the best of your ability. Remain unwavering. Anyone can do this. You don't have to have meditative experience, read books about this stuff, or hear talks. You just have to be aware of the possibility to be invited or to discover it within your own, you might say, grace of being. Because being essentially is grace. Not going to become grace, it is. And it just arises, and there's people who have this experience. And they explore what it means to, relatively speaking, remain undisturbed in the face of whatever comes, remain unwavering. Notice that it is in fact possible. That you don't have to go for the ride over and over and over. taste it, get familiar with that insight. And you'll notice that it isn't about accepting versus not accepting. It's not about a practice of being accepting. It's about a contextual openness that isn't concerned with this movement of accepting or not accepting that can come up. It allows that. Interesting. It's like the space in this room allows everything in this room to be, doesn't it? That's the openness. It's still relative because it comes and goes. But again, it's a Dharma gate. It points into what? It points into reality. Reality, in its, you might say, true essence, is undisturbed. It's complete, it's whole, it's full, it's empty. It's nothing, it's everything. It's this and that, not this against that. It's an absolute with, if we're talking this and that language. There is no opposite. That which is undisturbed is that which holds all opposition without any opposition. Or, in other words, that which allows. Notice this right now, and then we'll go into a practice. Whatever's happening, however it's happening, whenever it's happening, whatever shape, form, texture, color, tone, resonance it has, it cannot appear unless it's been allowed. Very subtle, very simple. That which is allowing everything is undisturbed. That which is allowing everything is the peace that's beyond understanding. It is beyond understanding in that no concept can grab it and reach it, and it's prior to any of these thoughts about it. It's timeless. It allows all of that which we call of duration, of time, of dimension, to be. And most of the time, for most people, these words or anything like these words intimates this. Because we're so familiar, we're so entranced, we're so conditioned to live in and of and be invested and de-invested at times as well in experiences, we can't see that which allows all these experiences. And yet, if we open into that quality of relative, unwavering undisturbance, it opens the door a little or a lot. It approximates that great space of being, that great allowance, that reality that allows everything to be. And when this is recognized, even for just a second, just a flash, it's recognized that that which allows everything is absolutely, totally, indivisibly, inseparable from everything that's happening. It's not a thing. And you can kind of get a sense of this because if the space in this room allows everything in this room to be as it is, unconditionally, where is the space? And another way to say it would be, where is the space not? But again, we can get caught on this concept of space, can't we? It's not space. It's that which allows space. It's there in sublime and sometimes not so sublime pointers in the Upanishads, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bible, in the Buddhist scriptures. It's there, but it can't be found by going through the language. The language just is like a bus that at a certain point just drops you off and then deserts you, as it must. Okay, before we sit again, just see. What is it that's allowing everything that's happening to happen? Even as you get curious about that, notice how that curiosity, that interest, in and of itself is, in a way, undisturbed. It's alive, it's wonder. It's awe. It's free. It's open. These are just words. We say it's here, but it's not limited to here. See, where's here? See, because if you do here, like define it, then there's a there, isn't there? There's there. Also here. It's like trying to do the moment. Where's the moment? Where's the moment? That's just a concept. There is no moment. And if you say experience, where is experience? Well, it's what's being felt, it's what's being thought, it's what's being sensed, it's emotion, these things. This is what life is, my life. You recognize this is just a viewpoint. Something must be allowing everything to be. See that openness. And that's the portal into that which doesn't need anything. When something doesn't need anything, then that something is undisturbed. It's not compulsed, it's not compelled, it's not contrived. It's without restriction. And this is what experience is moving in. This is what your life, so to speak, is unfolding in. Our life, this world, is unfolding in this that allows it. So let's sit for about 10 minutes now, okay? Just going to let the body be in a comfortable pose. and see if the body can simply rest in the pose. And just notice that all the sensations of the body, regardless of what type they are, right now, are being allowed. Something that's beyond any effort. Is allowing the sensations. Something's allowing all the sounds. Doesn't matter what the sound is, if it appears, it's being allowed. Notice that it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible to locate that which is allowing the sensations and the sounds. And yet something's allowing them. Otherwise they couldn't be. Now, like countless moments in life, the body is breathing in and out. If you tried to stop your breath, something would push and make it happen again. Just see the breath happening now. Something's allowing it. Something that's allowing the breath is open. Because the space, the great space of allowance, is open. Everything that's happening in it is also open. Just notice this. Open in the sense that simply being, in the brain, one of its tendencies or karmas, if you will, habits, is thinking. Something's allowing the thinking to happen. sneezes are like that too. So didn't allow the sneeze. All of a sudden, maybe just for an instant, there's absolutely nothing to do, nothing to figure out. Nothing to change. Nothing to remember, forget. Even just for a second, a millisecond. Everything is exactly as it is. Because it's being allowed to be. Position, no more struggle, even just for an instant. No more disturbance. This is a remembrance. This is what's here. No matter how long it's forgotten, that length of forgetfulness, that ignorance, it too is completely and utterly allowed. Can't find this that allows everything because the very mind that's looking is being allowed. Body is sitting, all the organs are working, brain is cognizing. Resting just a little bit longer. Even just in the curiosity about that which is allowing all of this. Functioning fully and freely in all the states, the conscious states, all the dream states, all of that which is of deep sleep. That which allows, doesn't change. doesn't come and go. This will reorganize one's sense of meaning. When you're ready, I'd like to just slowly shift and let the eyes open up again if they've been closed, and come back into the room visually with each other.